Today's reading starts in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and when you go, you shall not go empty, but each woman shall ask of her neighbor, and any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and your daughters, and you shall plunder the Egyptians. Then Moses answered, Behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, The Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, What is that in your hand? He said, A staff. And he said, Throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, Put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Again the Lord said to him, Put your hand inside your cloak. And he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, Put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground, and the water that you will take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to the Lord, O, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth, and teach you what to speak. But he said, O, my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do these signs. Moses went back to Jethro his father-in-law and said to him, Please let me go back to my brothers in Egypt to see whether they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, Go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey and went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. And the Lord said to Moses, When you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn, and I say to you, Let my son go that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, I will kill your firstborn son. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. It was then that she said, A bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. The Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him to speak, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and gathered people together, all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. So today's reading is about the calling of Moses. Moses sees this burning bush that is not being consumed, and that obviously piques his interest. It would pique your and I interest as well. And he doesn't know the place that he's standing. He doesn't know this mountain. Doesn't know any history. I mean, as far as the place is concerned. And God tells him, this is a holy place. Take off your sandals. And that tells Moses something. That tells Moses what's going on. And so his curiosity is no longer concerned with the burning bush. Now it's concerned with God speaking to him. Remember that Moses had already had some concern for his people. He had gone out in order to see the plight of his people, and had ended up killing an Egyptian taskmaster for abusing one of the Hebrews. He wanted to be there for his people, but his people did not accept his help. When he finds two of them fighting the next day and tries to break it up, they ask him, What are you going to do? Kill us like you did the Egyptians? And that's when he discovers that killing that Egyptian was known, and so ends up fleeing for his life. So it seems like at this point, Moses has given up on this idea of doing something good for his people. He's just gone out to live his life, to tend those flocks, to have his family, and to just go on about his way. But now God is calling him. It's been more than a generation. There's a new Pharaoh, and those that sought to kill him, they're gone, as God tells him. And so God says, I'm going to send you to my people because I've heard their affliction, and I'm going to bring them out to this land of milk and honey. And Moses is not entirely confident about undertaking this task. He begins to make excuses. He begins to try to back out. In fact, he says, look, I'm not a good talker. I'm slow of speech. I'm not an eloquent person. In other words, who would listen to me? And God says, who's your creator? Who makes the mouth of man? And it's a rhetorical question. And he says, if I, the creator, the God Almighty, say that I will be with you, then why are you concerned about whether your speech would be great or not? And so Moses is making these excuses, but God is giving the answer to overcoming them. Moses, of course, continues on that course to the point that God becomes angry and then says, well, okay, we'll use Aaron. We'll use Aaron, and he intends for Moses to still be the leader, but Aaron is going to be the mouthpiece. Well, Moses seems to accept that okay, and he ends up undertaking this journey to go back to Egypt, and he ends up meeting his brother Aaron along the way. So here's the thought that I want to leave you with today. A lot of times God tells us there's certain things that he wants us to do. We have commandments within his word that tell us the activities that we should be undertaking. But sometimes we're a lot like Moses in that we think that it's a bargaining process or that I can make excuses. For example, we might say, well, I know that I'm supposed to be sharing the gospel with people, but nobody's going to listen to me. And so we make excuses like Moses did. Or we might say, I know I'm supposed to give to the church for the support of the work that is assigned to it to do. I know that I'm supposed to be generous and I'm supposed to give from the heart. But you know, we don't have a whole lot of money, and so I'll just not give anything. I would point you back toward Jesus that teaches about that widow that put in just a minuscule amount of money, but yet he says that she gave more than all the rest. Why? Because she gave money that was sacrificial. And so she didn't make excuses to say, well, that's all I've got, a couple of copper coins. No, she gave what she had. She didn't make excuse. So we need to stop making excuses. We simply need to serve the Lord our God in the way that he tells us to do and trust him along the way. And so, as you continue your day today, I hope that you will think on that and you will look for opportunities to serve the Lord as he assigns to us to do. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.